Romans chapter number 5. When you found it, and if you're able, we invite you to stand to the reading of God's Word. And then we'll have a little prayer. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Would you please pray with us? Precious Lord, wonderful Creator, Lord Jehovah, the great I Am. Lord Father, we're thankful to be here. Thankful, Lord Father, that we are in a place, Lord Father, where I'm reminded, Lord, where eternal things are taking place. Lord Father, supernatural things are taking place. Lord, my mind can't wrap around them. Lord, I can't even think of what you're doing or how you're doing it. Lord, I just want to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, Father, I do believe there's hearts of folks here who want to be a part too. God, I pray today, Lord, Father, we know the importance of your preached word. We know, Lord, Father, it's through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Father, I pray that we all be believers today. I pray we all be hearers today. And I pray we all be doers today. Father, we don't have a tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. Lord, all we have is right now. I feel the gravity of the situation, the heaviness of the matter, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the seriousness of the heart's condition for every single one of us. Lord, I'm a failure. I fail you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my failures, Lord Father. I don't want to stay in them, Lord. Lord, I know that I'm clothed upon with flesh. Lord, I do know this, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is truly willing. Lord, Father, I pray, Lord, that we hook up together. You preach through me this engrafted word which is able to save our soul. That, Lord, you anoint me with that fresh oil, that fresh power, and this fresh message, Lord. Though this message, this Bible's been preached throughout generations and throughout centuries, Lord Father, I know, Lord Father, you can preach it afresh right now. Lord Father, may I ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading and praying with us. As we said, the simplicity of the gospel, the simple gospel, preaching on the grace of our Lord, the grace of the Father. Paul is writing unto the Romans. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was destined to go to Rome to preach the gospel. Paul, and this most folks would say that this is the Romans road. And they oftentimes, people will say negative things about the Romans road. But I've often thought about this. You can't get to heaven unless you're on Romans road. Can't get your way to heaven unless you're on Acts Avenue. Somebody say amen. You got to be in the way of the Lord. And I've often found that no matter where it's written, no matter how it's written, if it's in the confines of God's Word, Brother Miller, it is simply God's way unto eternal life. And I will say this, sometimes folks will say that we need something new and something fresh and different today to catch the minds or catch the imagination or catch the thoughts of the world. But I will dare to say this, I don't think we need something new, I just think we need to preach the same thing that's been preached throughout generations, but what we need to do is not try to add man's part unto it. Bible says what God does forever. No man can add to it. No man can take from it. He does it forever that men might fear him. And I would say this morning, that it's a fearful thing to stand in the hands of a living God, to know that his word is true and his word is absolute truth. But I want to say this. I want to say thank God, first of all, for the grace that he gives unto man. I'm glad that you find grace from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And I'm glad that the grace of God, I will say this in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I thank God that that grace has appeared unto all men. I'm glad that when Jesus was in amongst the world and walking with his disciples, it says they come unto him and said, Lord, show us a sign. Show us some signs that we may believe. He said, the young and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He said, but no sign shall be given. He said, except for that, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, he said, so shall the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. I'm glad today that we all know there was a death, there was a burial, and there's a resurrection. I'm glad we all know that Jesus Christ walked. Can I say this? A lot of folks will all try to shun it out of their heart or try to push it away. away from their mindset. But Brother Eddie, the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Can I say, somebody might say, well, preacher, if the grace of God has appeared unto all men, how come all men are not saved? Because we're not just saved by grace, we're saved by grace through faith. And can I say, that's why we have to preach. That's why we have to preach the Word of God. Oftentimes it's not by the learning of, oftentimes people think, well, I'm going to learn the Word of God. And some folks say, well, I'm going to study the Word of God. And I think those things are true and applicable. But friends, you can't get to second and third base unless you first hit first base. And first base is you've got to believe on the Word of God. You've got to believe on the one who we've sent from the only begotten of the Father, the one that is full of grace and truth, the one who never lived like he did and born like he was born and died like he died. You've got to have your faith believeth in him. I'm glad for the grace of God. We find in Genesis chapter number 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Oh, the Bible says, as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. And back in those days, there was a lot of people doing a lot of wicked things. And we hear of Noah finding grace in the eyes of God. In today's day and age, we see there's a lot of people doing a lot of wicked things. And some people say, preacher, how long do you think it, how much farther do you think it's going to go? I say, well, according to the scriptures, it can't go much farther. But I'm not trying to worry about how farther it's going to go. I just want to find grace in the eyes of God. I think if we spend more time, Brother Eddie, looking for the grace of God, looking for the eye of God, the eye of approval, and the eye of compassion, as Brother Don said, that Jesus had compassion on them blind men. I want God to have compassion on me and compassion on you. Hey, can I say this, friend? I think we all be a whole lot better off if we just rest in the grace of God. I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad for the grace of God, the grace of God that is so pure. Can I say, we have this grace, this wonderful grace. The Bible says that you got to have that saving grace. Somebody say amen right there. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8, for you're saved by grace through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Can I say, that's a wonderful thing to think upon today, that there is saving grace. Anybody listen to the preacher this morning? I think we should be so enamored and so glad for the grace of God. Grace of God, it bringeth salvation. You say, preacher, how important is it? Well, think about this. The one who knows everything about you, knows the hairs on your head, knows you're getting up, knows you're getting down, knowing you've messed up, knowing you've made a mess, knowing you've sinned and come short, knowing you've lied, knowing you've cussed, knowing you've said bad things about other people, knowing when you lied on your taxes, gambling and smoking and drinking, doing all those things. Anybody listen to the preacher? Cheating and lying and stealing. Somebody say, anybody listen to the preacher? God knows everything about you, know how bad you are, know how you are, but yet he loved you enough that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him you should not perish but have everlasting life. What a saving grace had God given to the world. What a saving grace had God gave the United States of America. What a saving grace James Powell that he gave to Ohio, Southwest Ohio, has South Lebanon, Ohio, to find a young boy in First Baptist Church of South Lebanon, dying in his sin. Somebody said, preacher, how do you figure that? I'm just glad. I can't put it all in perspective. I can't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. I'm just glad that grace come to me and saved my soul. Aren't you glad this morning? Aren't you happy this morning? Aren't you overjoyed this morning? You don't sound like it. I mean, if our favorite team, I mean, if the Bengals won the Super Bowl, I think they'd shut down Cincinnati for a week. If the Reds won the World Series, they'd shut down Cincinnati for a week. Hey, we ought to be excited because, hey, all the hosts of heaven rejoice over the repenting of your soul. Woo! We should be glad every day. Why? For the saving grace of God. We couldn't buy it with money. We couldn't purchase it with assets. We couldn't cash in our retirement plan. But the Lord, the God Almighty, as Brother Donald Bateman said, he bankrupted heaven and gave the most prized possession just to redeem mankind, fallen mankind, and little old you and big old me. He saved us by grace. What a wonderful grace. I thought about this. I've preached before on the grace of God. And I still got the notes. I went through the ABCs of grace. And God, I thought it was going to go by three A's and three B's and three C's and three. But no, he just kept giving abundant grace, amazing grace, and absolute grace and astonishing grace. I mean, everything just kept coming and coming and coming. And I'll never forget, Sister Tina, I got down to Z and said, Lord, what kind of grace would start with Z? He says, it's a zippy grace. And I said, a zippy grace. He said, it makes you want to go zip and zip up and down the road and zip up down the aisleway, zip up and down through the songbook and zip up and down through the living room and through the kitchen. Does anybody know what this preacher's talking about? You ever get a case of the can't help it? It didn't matter who was looking, who was watching. You was just thankful for grace. I sat in that front pew, and I don't know if anybody else got blessed or not. I mean, I was sitting there listening to Lillian Morgan saying, thank you, Lord. I've got a roof up above me and shoes upon my feet. Hey, I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. Woo! And that's just that a saving grace that God gives. It makes me want to be zippy and thank him for saving me. What a wonderful grace. I also find that we not only have a saving grace, but we're supposed to grow in grace. We should grow in grace. That's what Peter said. I do believe 1 Peter chapter number 3, he says, grow in grace. We're to grow in grace. Can I say this? Once you're saved, that's not the end. Hey, if God saved us and that was the end, he didn't take us all to heaven, but he left us here just not to sit in pews, but he left us to do something. The first thing we ought to do is grow in grace. You say, preacher, what happens when you grow in grace? When you grow in grace, you see just how much you needed grace, and you start seeing how somebody else needs grace. When you start growing in grace, your speech starts being filled with grace. Somebody say amen right there. The Bible says that our speech should be filled with grace always. That means we should always speak of the grace of God. Are you growing in grace today? Have you been growing in grace today? Can I say this? You can nitpick at others and nitpick at your own life. You can look at the place that you have and the position you're having, thinking things ain't going to get no better. But friend, if you've been saved by his grace, this is the worst that you'll ever see. And each day's getting better and better and better. I know I'm preaching kind of fast, Brother Eddie, but I got a real big chunk of what God's got my heart focused on, and I got to hit everything God's got me to hit before I get to home plate. Y'all with the preacher? But can I say we should be growing in grace? If you've been saved, if you've been truly born again and saved, you should be growing in grace. When you grow something, you water something. You water it with the Word of God. And when you grow something, you water something, sometimes you got to fertilize something. And that means to give it the Word of God. And sometimes when you grow something, you got to water it, you got to fertilize it. Sometimes you got to dig around it to keep the weeds away from it. And that's why I love preaching, Brother James. I like it when the man of God stands up and he preaches on my sin. Trust me, it doesn't feel good at the time, but what he's doing, he's a weeding out my garden. I can't pull up the weeds, but the man of God preaching the Word of God, filling with the ghost, the Holy Ghost of God, is pulling up my weeds so I can grow in the grace of the Lord. You know what's wrong with a lot of churches today? They'll never grow in the grace of God. They think since they're saved, that's all there is to it. We'll just sit in the pew and sing kumbaya and go home and have nothing else to do with the rest of the things, the rest of each other. Friend, that's not growing in the grace of God. When them disciples preached the gospel in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They went from house to house breaking bread, and the Bible says that the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. They were saved by grace. They was growing in grace. And friend, I'm telling you, when you start growing in grace, you start giving out grace, and you start speaking grace, and when folks start getting saved by grace, it just makes you want to grow even more and more and more. We should grow in grace. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, he says, be strong in the grace of God. Be strong in it. Can I say this? I don't know if there's anybody here, but the Lord's hitting my button to preach on this. You may think you're a failure. You may think you've messed it all up, that God saved you, but you're living your life and your life's a mess. Can I say this? God ain't giving up on you, so don't you give up on him. Amen. Don't you quit on God. Don't you quit on going to church. Don't you quit on reading that Bible. God ain't done with you yet. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it into the day of Christ. Yes, sometimes you got to go through the desert. Yes, sometimes it feels like you ain't bearing no fruit. But friend, it's going to come your season. And if you'll faint not at your working, faint not at your sowing, you'll reap. Don't give up on God. Be strong in the grace of God. If he sought for you, if he found found you, if he bought you, friend, he ain't tossing you away. Be strong in that grace of God. He loves you. I know you may have messed up. You're running around with the wrong people. You're doing the wrong things. You're doing stupid things. You're doing stupid acts, choosing stupid stuff. But friend, God still loves you. He's not throwing you in. I'm feeling something right now. He still loves you. He ain't tossed you away. Be strong in that grace. Stand up. It says, wherein we stand in that grace. Brother James, I'm standing in that grace. If it wasn't for that grace, I could not stand. If it wasn't for that grace, I'd be dead now and dead and gone. But I'm glad there's strength in grace. Be strong in grace. You say, preacher, where are you getting at? I see people all the time. They've messed up. They've messed up. You've done something wrong. Lord ain't going to use me. Lord ain't going to use me. Moses tried to quit before he got hired. Moses tried to say he couldn't speak. Moses could have quit in the wilderness, but he didn't. He kept on going. Why? He was strong in the grace of God. Being strong in the grace of God doesn't mean that you're strong. It means that his grace is strong. Ain't that good? I'm resting in his grace. I'm trusting in his grace. Tony, it's not by might. If it went by the might of ourselves in the scriptures, who's the mightiest one and who's the weakest one? Where would we be? Where would we be? Me and Sister Stella was talking. We was talking about somebody, and a person thinks that they're going to be on probation when they leave this world, that God will bring them back in at the end. Friend, that's not trusting in grace. That's not trusting in grace. That's trusting in a lie. Friend, the grace of God that appeared unto all, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men. That grace has appeared. That grace has been shown. That grace is God's love towards you and I. Unmerited favor. Nothing that we could do to earn it, and nothing we could do to obtain it. But he paid for it. Paid for it in full. And we should not only be saved by that grace, grow in grace, but be strong in the grace. Can I say, as somebody had asked one time, some people was asked, they said, preacher, I don't know how to get saved. I don't understand it. I don't have the words to pray. That's the reason I love that salvation's not in the prayer. Some people say, well, preacher, I don't understand that Bible. I'm so glad that reading the Bible doesn't get you saved. Y'all don't quit on me now. Listen to me. What we have done throughout the generations, what we've done throughout years, we've put so many saddlebags upon the horse of salvation, thinking that horse has got to carry that saddlebag because it's our deem, it's our little niche, it's our little tradition, Brother Eddie, it's our denomination thing. Somebody say amen right there. I know it's not popular preaching to the rest of the brethren, but friend, I'm not preaching for the brethren, I'm preaching for the grace of God. And can I say this, salvation, what you need to realize and understand is that you can't do it, but he's already done it. That's it. You've got to understand that you can't do it, and he's already done it. Friend, it doesn't make sense to you. It doesn't make sense to me. I believe it because I know it. I've tried. You've tried. We've all tried, but we could never come up to that place where the burden of sin, the burden of death is lifted, and we feel free, even though we're not free from this present world, but free we're walking. Friend, we're walking as free as air. And Brother Eddie, the reason why is not because we did it. It's because he did it on Calvary. That's what you need to understand. Well, preacher, if that's the case, what do? You need to get a hold of him. You need to get in him. You need to trust in him. You need to believe in him. Walking and talking every single day. You say, preacher, but I'm weak. Join the crowd. I am too. That's why I know the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. And I think all of us can holler amen on that. There might be some of you here that's fit, and I can look and think you're fit. I know I'm not. But I'm glad I ain't got to be strong in the physical. I got to be strong in the grace of God. And friend, it would be a good thing for you to do, to be strong in that grace of God. As many times as you need to, go to an altar and pray. Ask God to help you and strengthen you. He knows you're weak. That's why he has a sufficient grace. A sufficient grace. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter number 12, the Apostle Paul seeking the Lord because he's got an infirmity of his flesh. Now, while everybody's trying to find out what Paul's infirmity was, I think they forgot to see what theirs were. Right? And Paul sought the Lord for his infirmity, Brother Eddie. He sought him three times, I do believe the scripture says. He says, this messenger of Satan that keep buffeting me, I would like to be delivered from it, Sister Tina. But God says no. This is what he said. He says, for my grace, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, he said, not Paul's strength. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His grace is sufficient. It's not whether or not, can I say this? We have masked, we have duct taped the Christian life thinking that we don't have no problems, we don't have no struggles, and that when we're at our happiest is when God is, that's when we're closest to God. But friend, I'm finding the Apostle Paul, when he was at his weakness, is when God's made strong in the weakness of Paul. Why is God made strong in our weakness? That's because we'll surrender the reins, we'll surrender the position, we'll get off our throne, we'll get off our high horse. We'll get off them things trying to justify ourselves. Paul said, in my weakness. God says, no, in your weakness. He said, you don't even know. He says, my grace is sufficient. When you're looking for an answer, look for God's grace. When you're looking for a way out, look for God's grace. When you're trying to find to pay the bills, look for God's grace. When you're trying to fix your family, look for God's grace. Why? Because it is sufficient. Man for too long is trying to fix it. Man too long is trying to find their way out. Man's trying to better life and perfect life and extend life. But friend, the only way you can do it is through the grace of God. Did you know China right now thinks they got to where they can duplicate a human life? Huh? They can't duplicate the human life. There's only one who can create, and that's God. But the devil likes to imitate, Brother Tony. And the devil don't like that grace, because the devil's when he wants to swell up and get prideful. But we got to trust in his grace. Why? Because it's sufficient grace. Can I say, not only is it sufficient grace, but we have access to this grace. We have a sufficient grace because we have access to it. In Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 16, it says we can go into the throne of grace boldly. Not only can we go there boldly, but we can obtain mercy and receive grace for the time of need. Aren't you glad that there's not a secret password? Aren't you glad there ain't a secret handshake? Aren't you glad there ain't a secret handshake in a ritual? You say, preacher, well, you get it. I'm glad there's no closed behind doors, no curtains. Says that curtain, that was that veil, Brother Byram, that veil in the temple was tore from top to bottom. Did you ever notice it wasn't tore from the bottom to the top? Huh? You know why? You know why God tore it from the top down to the bottom? Because, man, we're trying to say this one, they tore it from the bottom to the top. But can I say, hey, all the horses and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't tore that veil apart. It took the power of God, Brother James, and the grace of God to tear it open. Once before, only a specific kind of person could go back behind the veil into the holiest of holies. But now, since Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross, Jeff Coomer, you and I have access to this throne of grace, and we can come boldly and obtain mercy and get grace in the time of need. It's sufficient grace. It's an accessible grace. Somebody say hallelujah right there. Not only is it accessible, it's a justifying grace. I love justifying grace. Don't you? Now, I like it because it says in the scripture that we read, it's justified by faith. But it also, too, it says in Romans chapter number 3, we're justified by grace. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, justifying grace. Me and Brother Josh was talking, why do so many people want to believe salvation the way they want to believe it? Because it frees them from having the rule, somebody having the rule over them. I saw a dear friend of mine, a pastor friend, in a conversation. We was talking about if the sons of God truly, or the children of God would truly do the work of God. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Somebody chimed in and says, we're all sons of God. We're all sons. I'm like, we all ain't sons. And we all ain't daughters. If that bothers your doctrine, I'm not apologizing. That's the Bible. The Bible says, now, everybody says that we're not the sons of God, but I'm reminded in John chapter number 3, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. The Bible says that we're not born by the will of the flesh, nor the will of the blood, nor the will of man, but by the will of God. He said, all them that come unto him and believe on him, gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. See, you've got to be one of His. You've got to be blood-bought and born again if you're one of His sons. Y'all listen to the preacher? Right? He says in Hebrews chapter number 12, He says, if you receive chastising, then you are sons. But if you receive it not, then you're not a son. You're not a son. If He does not chastise you in your sin, you're not a son. Here's where people get tied up and tangled up with that, Brother James. They expect God to come down out of heaven with a good old Sears Roebuck solid leather strap, razor strap, or something, and just tan their hide that way. That's not how God does it. But though at times I feel like I'm limping away from the chastisement, that's just my little piece right there. I feel like I'm limping away. But He retracts something. There's something that's retracted, and that's that fellowship and companionship. Brother James, it don't take me long when I don't feel that companionship and fellowship with the Lord, when I've got to realize something went wrong somewhere. The Bible says, he that covereth up sin shall not prosper. Prosper. Or is any of you not prospering today? Is any of you held up? I'm not talking about prospering in the flesh. Your bank account may be good and still be in bad shape with God. You can have all your bills met. And still be in bad shape with God. You could be behind on your bills and still be in bad shape with God. What I'm saying is that if you're one of His, you're going to know it when you're out of line with God. And you know, sometimes folks get mad at the preacher, and they get mad at the preacher because they think the preacher's preaching on their sin because somebody told them something about it. And I ain't saying, Sister Bobby, that no one never told me. I'm just saying God's the one who's saying who's doing the preaching. So He's the one who knows, not me. It would make better sense for us, instead of getting mad at the preacher, getting mad at somebody else, or saying somebody else is judging me, I'd go to the altar and say, Lord, where have I come short? Have I misstepped? Why? Because I'm a son. I'm a son. He said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And He said, I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. But you've got to come out from among them first. Got to stop touching the unclean thing. Stop doing the unclean thing. Man, I'm stuck here, Brother Eddie. Get away from the unclean thing. You ain't got to go drinking a 12-pack of beer to be unclean. Y'all listen to the preacher? You seen that person on the side of the road and they needed a good hand, a love, a good word, a soft, kind word and compassion. You didn't do it. You might as well just drink that 12-pack of beer. That's right. That's right. Is that not right? Too many times we fail to realize the compassion that we're supposed to have. He said, touch not the unclean thing. When you spend more time with things of the world than you do with the Lord, that's unclean. That's unclean. I've said this many, many times. And some of you old timers, some of you know, and some of you young ones know about the old time way. Mom said you couldn't get in bed with dirty feet. You had to wash them feet before you got in bed. She said, I didn't work and wash them clothes and stay them through the wringer and hang them on the clothesline for you to give them your dirty feet and dirty them up. You know what she'd say? Does anybody remember that? Well, here's what I'm getting at. You can't be received by the Lord if you're touching the unclean things. Got real quiet all of a sudden. But can I say this? That justifying grace was if you come to the Lord, you separate yourself from the unclean thing. He's got justifying grace. What's justifying grace, preacher? That's that grace that just covers all and smothers all. That Bible says that charity, that love, Holy Ghost love in action, says shall cover a multitude of sins. I'm glad that's what God has for us. I'm glad God is love. I'm glad that God's love towards us is still a faithful love. It's unchanging love. God says, the Bible says, God changeth not. He's the same. He's the same. And Malachi said, I change not. So His love for you is still the same. His grace for you is just the same. And friend, when you come out from among them, it's not that you've been cast away. It's not that you're lost and God gets saved. He's just saying, you too dirty to come get my presence. Get away from them. Come out from among them. I'll clean you up. I'll wash you up. I'll dust you off. I'll make you just like you was. I'll put you right here and I'll justify you. Just if I never sinned. Just if I never walked away. Just if I never touched the unclean thing. Just if I've never gotten dirty. Justifying grace. Just if I've never sinned. Wade, that's a wonderful position to be in. I don't know about you, but I know about me. There's been times I feel like any moment He was going to kill me. And He never did. Why? Because He's got justifying grace. He's got all kinds of grace. Whatever your situation, I know we can zip through them graces and find what you need. But here's the most important reason why you need grace. Because that very same scripture it talked about is grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in. He says, but we have peace with God. That means he's not angry no more. And Brother Jeff, as much as he's a loving God, he's still a wrathful God. And can I say this? So many people still think God's not going to send nobody to hell. There's people that still think hell's not real. There's still people who doesn't think God's wrath is not true. Do you know what keeps his wrath from killing all of us? His love. Aren't you glad his love keeps his wrath from killing us? The Bible says in Colossians we were all, and in Ephesians too, we were all children of wrath. What's that mean? That means that we was at any moment ready to, we could have been snuffed out because of our sins. We broke God's law. We broke God's ways. Y'all listen to the preacher? It's still wrong not to do right. If you ain't doing right, it's wrong. Ask all them people when Moses and Joshua was on the mountaintop and he was getting the law and getting the testimony of the Lord, and they heard, and Joshua said, that's a sound of war down there. And the Lord says, no, that's a sound of play. They went down there and they was just singing. They was naked. They was dancing around a fire with a molten calf, a golden calf. And Moses got mad and hollered out, who's on the Lord's side? And the Bible says the Levites came over and the wrath of God was upon them disobedient children. I hear this word today where God's not angry, God's not wrathful, and God will not do those things. Friend, may I remind you, if you die in your sins where Jesus is, you cannot come. He says, fear not man who can kill the body but don't have power over the soul, but fear him who has both power to kill the body and the soul and cast them both into hell. Everybody loves John 3:16. Let's just flip to John 3:16 if you'd like to. I want to read these scriptures. I want to point out some familiar scripture for some people, but I want to point it out for the cause of this message today. For the grace of God, but we cannot get away from the grace of God without talking about the wrath of God. The Bible says in John chapter number 3 verse number 14, the Bible says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know why Moses lifted up the serpent? Because the people were complaining, and God sent fiery serpents, to bite those ones that were complaining, and they had to get healed from that bite from the fiery serpent. And can I say, as Moses lifted up the serpent, Jesus also must be lifted up. Why? Because we've all been bitten by the sin of the snake of sin. We've all been bitten by it. We all need a Savior. We all need help and grace. The Bible says in verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we all love that scripture. We all love that name. I had Brother Scott Strunk come to me last week. He says, I'm glad I'm a whosoever. I got my Bible onto the side. I got a line underlined it and a line by my name. It says, whosoever. I got Jason Faulkner. That Jason Faulkner believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Take out the whosoever in your Bible and put your name right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Noah Faulkner believeth in him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. The grace of God is wonderful. The grace of God is great. But the grace of God has come to deal something with our sin. And friend, we all have a sin sickness, but Jesus is the cure. Verse number 17, for God sent the Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Thank God. 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Can I say that's a true statement for 2018, getting into 2019? That men love darkness rather than light. They love the darkness. They do so many things at dark. Somebody went around spray painting South Lebanon in the middle of the night, in the dark. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's exactly right. That's not Jason Faulkner's speech. That's the Lord's speech. Verse 19 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. That means if you're saved, you want to come to the light. You don't find rest in the darkness. How can we, being dead unto sin, live any longer therein? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But here's what he says at the end of John chapter number 3, verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abides. Oh, preacher, God's a loving God. You know, that's what's wrong with you all. You preaching that kind of gospel. You need to make disciples. This is 2018. You got to make disciples. You got to make disciples. Here's what's wrong. We don't make disciples. He makes them. He births them. He creates them in the image of his dear Son. Romans chapter number 8, being predestinated to be in the image of his dear Son, Brother Eddie. We are predestinated. If you're saved, you have a destination that God wants you to be at, and he's going to work on you until he gets you there. But what we have now is we have a people that says, don't preach about the wrath, don't preach about hell, don't preach about God's judgment. But friend, the Bible says if judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it begin with us, where shall the ungodly and the sinner be? Friend, be strong in his grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is accessible. His grace is justified. Grow in it. Be strong in it. Trust in it. But there is a decision that you have to make. There's something you have to choose. Before I knew there was Jesus Christ for salvation, I didn't know which way to choose. Y'all listen to the preacher? I followed my own will. And then I found out, Sister Tanya, that my will was the bad will. It was the square will. It was the fifth will. And it needed to be a part of his will. The one that was right. The one that was true. The one that was balanced and properly inflated. Y'all listen to the preacher? When I found out his way was the better way, there was only one thing that I could do. Or one thing I should do. The one thing I should do was surrender and submit to his will. And Brother James, I'm glad I did. But I also could not have. The Bible says, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. That means it's already there. Condemnation doesn't come at the end. You're already condemned. Already condemned. That's why he says, when they come in that day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not went to church? Have we not passed out a tract? Have we not fed them? Have we not done all these things? And Jesus said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. I never knew you. All those things have a good place, and all those things are a sign of a good and compassionate way of living. But friend, if our good, compassionate way of living was just, then we'd been no need for the Savior. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 23, this is the wrath of God and the grace of God. Under the law, most all things were purged by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. What's that saying, preacher? That under the law, that whenever sin came to the camp, or sin came to the home, or sin came to a life, they had to offer up a sacrifice. But friend, our sacrifice never could cut the mustard. It never could measure up. But God, instead of wrath, chose his love and said, this is what I'll do. I'll give them one sacrifice once and for all. Even though they can't give me the right sacrifice, they offer me up broken-legged lambs and blinded sheep. He said, I'm going to give my son. And he gave his son upon Calvary. Turned his back on his own son and separated him from his love. And you know what Jesus suffered on the cross? He suffered his wrath. He suffered his wrath. Alienated from the Father, never separated. Mocked, spit upon, beaten. They mocked him. If you be the king, if you be the Savior, save yourself. Show us. But he had to stay up here to show his love to the Father. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. And God poured his wrath out upon Jesus. He suffered death. He suffered sin and the wrath of God for folks like you and me. Friend, why don't you believe? Why won't you believe? Well, I'm trying to make sense of it, preacher. You'll be stuck in that mode. Can I say, when I stepped out and I came to Him, I just understood that without Him, there couldn't be a me. I didn't know what else to do, James. I just stepped out and went to Him. I didn't know Bible. I had to step out. You know what I found? That He was there with His arms open wide. A loving God who I thought was going to kill me, loved me, Sister Sue, and took me into His family. And He made me His own. Thank God for grace.